Interestingly, most of us are just walking around in a perpetual low hum of fight or flight because of the trauma, because of the way the world is built and how narrow focus is celebrated in our culture. If you accomplish something, you worked really hard, you locked in on something that you wanted to create or do or accomplish, and you do that thing, you get celebrated for it, you get the money, you get the success, whatever it is, and then you're like, oh, I got to do more of that. The problem being, when you're in the chronic narrow focus, you're in this perpetual state of adrenaline, cortisol, locked in, narrow focus, stress. There's a tension in your being when you're in that way.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What's up, Fix listeners? Welcome to our latest episode of The Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber, and I have probably one of the most interesting guests. And yeah, I know I say that every week that we have a guest, but this guy is such a cool person, has such an interesting story, and I cannot wait to hear what all of you think about this episode. And that is Eben Britton, who is a self-described, wait for it, ex-NFL player turned yogi. That's right. I'm talking like a big, I don't even know how tall he is, but go watch the YouTube episode so you guys can see just what a massive human being this is. And he's now a yogi. And this entire conversation is not what you'd expect from like a stereotypical high-performing athlete. It's real. It's raw. It's all about his journey of just rooting yourself in presence, rooting yourself in the now. Interestingly, it's a lot of what I've started to explore for myself in these last few weeks. And I recorded this back in December. So it was kind of foreshadowing. I can say that now, that some of what Eben was getting me to think about as we were sitting in studio in California, having this conversation together of how might some of these practices and tools, the big one being what he calls open meditation. It's really cool. We get into it. We talk about how to do it. I would strongly encourage you guys, when you get to that part of the episode or at the very end of this episode, if you have a few minutes, you could literally do it for less than 2 minutes. Try this exercise. It is highly effective for somebody. If you're like me and you're like, meditation, I can't do it, Krista, I can't sit still. Well, you'll hear that I felt that way too. And I had the pleasure of getting connected with Eb through a mentorship group that I'm in for my podcast. And ironically, the day that he came to join us via Zoom when we first met, I was so not in the mood to get on their Zoom. And I had a long day. I just was done peopling, if you will. And I had a lot of personal things on my mind. And I was like, oh, maybe I should skip this call. And wouldn't you know it, with the way the universe works, the way the world just has so much synchronicity, I get on this call within the first 5 minutes, he's asking us to sit still. And I'm like, I can't do that. But I was willing to open my mind. And it just so happened that he has a meditation style that really works well for him that I had never heard about before. And I'm so glad I made the decision to get on that Zoom, because of course it was exactly what I needed on that day to really navigate some of the feelings that I was having and some of the just overwhelm that I was experiencing for various reasons of stuff going on in my life at the time. So I would encourage all of you to really listen carefully to what he's talking about. And he does dive into bits and pieces of his story of family history around alcoholism, really losing your purpose post athletic career, which is very common for a lot of athletes who play at that level, and how those experiences really led him down the path that he's on today. And more importantly, doing the work and sharing these messages. So I also want to make sure I highlight the fact that if any of what he's saying does resonate, be sure to check out his podcast. It's called The Ebb and Flow. definitely check out the work that he's doing. He's got some retreats that he'll be hosting this year. If this is something that you want to experience in real life, would strongly, strongly encourage you to check it out and just get a new perspective. So this is one of those conversations that I think you're going to leave feeling lighter, that you're going to leave feeling like, hey, I have a new way to think about how I interact with other people. I have a new lens to consider how I might communicate with the people that I really care about, and hopefully walk through the rest of your day with just a different sense and maybe a different sense of purpose if it leaves a lasting impression on you that it did for me. So with that, let's welcome Evan Britton to the Fix Podcast. Eb, welcome to the Fix Podcast. I'm so excited for this conversation. Like we were discussing off air, the first time you and I interacted via Zoom, you didn't know it, but I really needed your work and teaching in my life on that day. And I'm sure that will come up throughout this recording, but I'm just honored to be able to bring your message and facilitate this conversation for the Fix listeners, because I think they will really benefit from it. And before we learn about you, who you are, your story, all the things, I like to kick off my episodes with a fun little question. I'm a huge coffee drinker, maybe even too much sometimes, but it's admitted. What do you like to sip on in the morning to get you going for the day?
I'm a big coffee guy too.
Good. We're in good company. I'm happy.
Well, if I'm out getting a cup of coffee, up until about 3 weeks ago, I just go with 12 or 16 ounces black drip.
Something basic. That's cool.
And then I go to my local coffee shop last week, and I say, hey, just love a hot black. Says, you have 5 minutes because we need to brew a new batch. I don't want to give you a lukewarm batch. And she goes, I could make you an Americano. It'll take 1 minute. So I was like, okay, I'll try the Americano.
Nice.
Loved it.
It's good.
And
it's a very efficient drink.
Yeah. So lately I've been going with the Americano and I really love it.
And you just drink it straight shot, nothing in it?
Yeah, just black. Americano, just keep it simple. I don't do well with, if I was going to put anything in it, it would have to be a raw heavy cream.
Okay.
Or some MCT oil.
Sure.
But other than that, I just go black, no sweetener. I like my coffee just natural,
through the pure taste of coffee. Yeah. You're my kind of guy for that exact reason. I do add some almond milk. But I truly love coffee for the flavor.
Yeah.
The caffeine is just a nice effect.
Totally.
Right? I just genuinely appreciate it. I'm all about trying different coffee shops, different beans, how it's brewed, all those things.
Me too. Big time.
Cool.
Love that.
Very nice.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I have a guest on the show, and I've been fortunate enough, I'm actually, by the time this airs, I will have reached 3 years in podcasting, which is very exciting.
Congrats.
Thank you. And I've been so fortunate to be able to meet some really incredible people along the way. And in the time of growing as an interviewer and becoming a truthfully better listener, because I think that's what it's really about, I have kind of landed on this question that I ask every single one of our guests, and it guides the rest of the entire conversation. So like I said before, no pressure, but because I already know a little bit about your story, I listened to you on our mutual friend Chase's show, and I just absolutely loved your message and was why I was adamant about making sure we got to meet when I was here in person in LA. But I really want to know, beyond yourself classifying yourself as a yogi, beyond your career in the NFL, who are you past the resume? And more specifically, why should the Fix listeners care about what you got to say today?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I think it's an important question, where we're at with so many voices in the world and so many nodes of information and podcasts. There's infinite stuff out there, you know?
That's the perfect way of putting it.
So why should anyone listen to me or what I have to say? I would say that I have experienced, for better or worse, an immense amount of mental, emotional, and physical pain. growing up in a childhood that was heavily affected by the disease of alcoholism, a lot of mental health things there, anxiety, depression, lack of self-worth, scarcity, you know, physical, verbal abuse, and then through a football career where took immense amounts of physical damage.
Of course.
You know, torn labrum in my shoulder, ruptured disc in my back, torn muscles and ligaments all over my body, numerous concussions, all of that. Just like any guy who's ever played football has experienced. And struggled with my own addiction issues with alcohol and pills and Adderall and painkillers. And stumbling through it all with the love and support of people I was blessed to be surrounded by, and, you know, my own will, my own willingness, more accurately, to surrender it all over to God, a higher power. I found my way through that and have spent the majority of my life after football cultivating deeper and deeper realms of inner peace and love in myself, you know? And just as a matter of, I've been there. Yeah. I've been in the utter darkness of being homicidal and suicidal. And having found my way back into the light little by little, you know, and using the tools that we all hear and hear about and more.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about it this weekend. I put on a 2-day virtual breath and body clinic.
Oh, cool.
And we did some of the things that we did in the talk with, Chase's group that I did with you guys, and expanded on that even more. And this thing, this concept right here, is what truly fascinates me. And the concept is the interconnection of our physiology and our psychology, and the axis point being our nervous system.
Sure.
And when you look at everything that's becoming really popular right now, the breath work and the ice tubs and the meditation and grounding and getting out into nature, getting out into the sun, drinking plenty of water, eating nourishing foods, all of this stuff, the underlying goal, if there is a goal with all of it outside of just being healthy and well,
sure,
is stabilizing our nervous system. You know, many of us, whether it's the childhood that we've come out of, the family background that we've come out of, or the things that we've experienced along the way to get us to this point where we are right here, right now, we've experienced trauma, mental, emotional, physical, to some degree, which has left our nervous system completely rattled and out of whack. So we're all desperate for tools, techniques, processes by which we can restabilize ourselves and find peace, you know? And something that we talked about in the group when I spoke with you guys was this thing, this concept of narrow focus and open focus.
Yeah. That really caught my attention. So I'm happy that you're bringing this up.
Yeah. And so you experience trauma. Most of us, for whatever reason, experience trauma sometime between the age of like 6 and 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Something occurs in our life that becomes this, for lack of a better term, it becomes this defining moment of our perspective, our perception of life, of reality, which we then spend our adulthood
unpacking,
yeah, you know, unwinding ourselves from. And so this thing happens, whatever it might be. Maybe it's many things. Maybe it's a lot of things. Maybe it's more time. Maybe it's just one instance. You know, all the infinite variables of that, that aspect of all of our lives. And then we come up in a world where being narrow, living in a state of narrow focus, perpetual narrow focus, where, you know, you're constantly building, moving towards a dream, building a business, accomplishing goals, accomplishing your dreams, all of that stuff. You're constantly in this narrow focus. And if you think about narrow focus and open focus, what's the difference there? If you're out in the wild, or if you're thinking about out in the wild, there's a lion on the savanna, and the lion's sitting there in the grass and it's looking at the herd of gazelle, and it zeroes in on an injured gazelle. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the adrenaline starts pumping. Its brow furrows. It gets into kill mode. Its instincts kick on and it goes, hunts down that gazelle, kills it, eats it, takes it back to the pride, whatever. That's all very narrow focus. And anytime we're in narrow focus, there's an element of stress. So there's an element of the fight or flight state of the nervous system, the sympathetic state that we're in. The amygdala, the reptilian brain, it's all survival instincts. Very little can be accomplished in the body when you're in the fight or flight state, right? So interestingly, most of us are just walking around in a perpetual low hum of fight or flight because of the trauma, because of the way the world is built and how narrow focus is celebrated in our culture. If you accomplish something, you worked really hard, you locked in on something that you wanted to create or do or accomplish, and you do that thing, you get celebrated for it, you get the money, you get the success, whatever it is, and then you're like, oh, I got to do more of that. Mm-hmm. The problem being, when you're in the chronic narrow focus, you're in this perpetual state of adrenaline, cortisol, locked in, narrow focus, stress. There's a tension in your being when you're in that way. So open focus would be the lion in the grass, lying in the sun, just gazing out at the savanna, totally relaxed, recovering, resting, digesting its meal, able to observe the entirety of the environment around it. So for us, when we can get into, when we can practice these, this open focus way of being, which is there's meditation exercises, we can do it anytime, really. Yeah. You know, it's really, it becomes one of those things where once you learn how to do it, you can really do it anywhere. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it when you're in a room, while you're working. There's infinite ways to apply this open focus technique. And so the open focus is essentially correlated to the parasympathetic state, rest, digest, recover, detoxify, reproduce, all the things that our body needs to do outside of keeping us alive in the survival mode, right? And so this concept of open focus was illuminated by a guy named Les Femy. And Les Femy was the head of the Biofeedback Institute at Princeton. And weirdly enough, like as I've been on my own journey with this open focus practice, I find out about a month or so ago that my mom studied with Les Femy.
I think you had just found out about it when you spoke to us.
Yeah, literally. It was like that day.
Yeah, and I thought that was so cool. Yeah.
So
very full circle for you, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. And of course that would happen, you know, right? That this is kind of this thing that I'm super fascinated by. So I'll take it back a little bit to, I came out of football, I was mentally, emotionally, physically destroyed and started to go on this back in 2014, had to start this long, slow process of putting myself back together.
Sure. Did you retire due to injury?
I had numerous injuries that slowed my body down. That being said, I was still getting calls to come and work out for teams and could have kept it going if I really wanted to, but my heart just wasn't in it. Fair. It was really about my heart and my desire to play.
And to have put your body through that for so long, like you're saying, right? I think there comes a point where if you are being honest with yourself, that's got to be there 150%.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because of you endure on a regular basis and through each season.
Yeah. And football is just, it's a sport where if your heart's not in it, you're going to get somebody hurt. You're going to get yourself
and yourself.
Hurt.
Sure. Yeah. So makes sense.
It's definitely an all in or nothing.
I get it. And at that level, right? To your point of narrow focus.
Yeah.
That's, and exactly. Before you keep going along your path of where you are now, you actually took the next question right out of my mouth because I wanted you to kind of explain like where this intersection of exploring this started for you and go into that piece of your story. But just so the listener knows, just to really, really underscore what you said about this concept of doing this open focus meditation anywhere, since you showed it to me and I mentioned to you, I'm not the type of person who feels that meditation is accessible because I've only been taught about it in one way.
Uh-huh.
And it's the whole like quiet your mind. And I've had teaching here and there. It's crazy. Like, based on the interactions we've already had in a few minutes, I'm sure you can see why that would not resonate with me.
Yeah.
And I had a few voices being like, hey, it's not about actually quieting your mind. Like, it's about acknowledging that the thoughts are there. But I still didn't love that. Uh-huh. I still felt like it was like this force I was fighting against. And as you've been sitting here, I obviously recorded another podcast right before you. And I wanted to kind of like recenter myself a little bit. So when you started speaking, I thought about your practice of what you taught us. And there is a very, very low hum from one of the lights in this room. Mm. And I was able to find it as you began talking about your experience. And it's just a testament to the fact that it does actually help you refocus. Because for as much as I was listening for that noise, since you explained to us through that exercise that you want to try to find like the quietest thing in the room and see if you can start there, I still was very much able to zero in on your story and what you were starting to get into. So just live take that I did actually do this meditation as you began the episode. And I really appreciate it and really love it. And the minute you had told us on our call, hey, you could do this when you're driving. Hey, you could potentially do this when you're like in between work calls. I was like, oh, I could get behind what he's about to say. My ears kind of perked up a little bit. And I'm like, maybe this is something that's a tool for me that's been inaccessible because I just didn't have this viewpoint on it. It just wasn't exposed to me yet. So anyway, keep going. Just kind of it's 2014. We're leaving football behind. Where do we go next? I know it was a little rocky.
No. I love that. I love, thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
that.
Of course.
Because it's interesting for me, you know, in my own experience with it and then sharing this with others. And I'm a yoga teacher and I teach breath work and meditation. And it's great feedback to understand, like, what is your experience when you're taking what I'm saying, the cues that I'm giving you and applying them in your own life? Does that work? That's what's really most important.
Of course.
You know,
same with nutrition.
Who cares?
Right? Yeah. I think about that all the time. I'm like, I could have all the knowledge in the world. From a nutrition perspective, it doesn't matter unless we can put it into application.
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000%. And that's my big thing. There was definitely a moment when I came out of football. So I'll give you the bullet points because I've told this story so many times.
Yeah. And I was kind of hoping that we could take it in another direction because in listening to podcasts you've done and you just sharing your story, I would love for you to kind of weave this in. But at this point, with where you are now versus where you were then, I would imagine that you feel not really removed per se, because I think you recognize that that was an important part of your story to go through that because it wouldn't have led you to where you are right this second. But we evolve as people, and you may be at a period where you're like, okay, yes, that impacted who I am, how I show up today, why I use the tools that I do. But I think your ultimate purpose is much, much bigger than you just talking about the challenges that you faced.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. You know what's up,
Krista.
So, you know, came out of football 2014, mentally, emotionally, physically destroyed. The classic, who am I? What am I even doing with my life?
I had one of those moments a couple of years ago. I can relate.
Well, that's really the thing. You know, it's everybody has had that experience.
Right.
If you've left a job or you've left a relationship.
I did both at the same time, which is why I had mine.
Perfect. You know,
it was perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. As difficult as it was, It was also totally perfect and necessary for you and your evolution.
I would not be sitting here right now with you. I wouldn't know Chase. Mm-hmm. I would not have any connection to Operation Podcast in any way. I wouldn't have my business. So 100%. But it's easy to say that now, right? And I'm sure you could identify with that too.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's important to share that.
Yeah.
Because for those who are in that moment going, holy shit.
It gets better.
What is happening?
Yeah.
How could I be here? It's like, dude, breathe. Take it one moment at a time. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just hard because when it's happening, it's like the last thing you want to hear.
Yeah.
And you're like, please stop telling me that. Like, I want to believe you, but I'm angry that you're saying this to me. That was my experience, at least.
No, no. Totally. Yeah. Totally. I think that's an important part of it, too. Because...
Mm-hmm.
We have this thing in our culture where people are struggling and we want to fix it.
Yep.
It's like that isn't always what people are looking for.
For
sometimes
sure.
you just need a safe space to fall. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's a whole other pod.
It literally could be its own podcast. Yeah.
Totally. So around my last season was 2014. It was this roller coaster ride because there was a sense of relief too. Like, oh my God, this thing that I set out to do from the time I was 8 years old, I accomplished it and I came through the other side and now I've got a whole life in front of me. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Sure.
And then it's like, now what? Holy shit. How am I going to make money? Who am I? What do I like? How do I communicate with people? Where do I even begin?
Yeah, it is really interesting when you think about like a professional sports career in that way, because, you know, you take a person who idolizes your team, the jerseys, the experience, like all the aspects of it. And what we don't remember, because I can't relate to this, but you didn't go to college and get a 9-to-5 job, right? Yeah. So you're now catapulted being a, you know, whatever age you are. Like, obviously, every person's different when they actually retire and leave the NFL. It could be 20-something. It could be 30-something.
Yeah.
And life was still happening around you for everybody else. So it's like, how do you identify?
Yeah.
That's confusing, I would think.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. It was really challenging. So around 2016, my life was just completely crashing over me. The unmanageability of my life, like all the escape valves were no longer working. 2 hours in the weight room, alcohol, weed, porn, like nothing was soothing me, you know? And that basically culminated in a fight with my wife, now ex-wife, God bless her, love her to death. That's a whole other story. She's an amazing mom. She's great. We have a great relationship. My wife at the time, screaming at the phone at her, saying, I'm going to kill myself or I'm going to kill somebody. Driving on the freeway to go work at this company that I had started with this group of people. It's a whole other podcast. And by the time I got to the office, just felt choked with shame and guilt and disconnection, isolation. What am I doing? This is not me. No, there's not one thing that I feel good about in my life right now. And I got a call from my mom and she said, hey, Ed, how you doing? I was like, could barely speak. You know?
And because you probably couldn't even put into words what you just said.
I had no words, you know?
Yeah.
And God bless her. My wife went to my mom after that call and said, hey,
I need your help.
I need your help. I don't know what to do with Eb.
Yeah.
So mom calls, Eb, why don't you come over for dinner? Of course, I'm on my knees. Like, I've got no other option.
I'll try anything.
Here. Yeah. You know, I go to dinner. It's my mom, my aunt, Martha, my godmother, and my brother Gus. And they just start talking to me about our family disease of alcoholism, how everything I'm experiencing. You know, I basically share like everything that's happening in my life, how I just feel. I have no idea where to go, what to do. I feel like I'm choking. I can't breathe. And say, yeah, there's tools for this. There's 12-step programs. And my brother had been going to this all-men's Al-Anon meeting. Al-Anon is for, just quickly, Al-Anon is for families of alcoholics, and there's AA for the alcoholics. Yep. You, most of the time, the Al-Anons are crazier than the alcoholics.
I can kind of see that, because you want so much to help the person and trying to learn how to navigate that process.
Exactly. It's hard. So we always say, in Al-Anon, I don't have a drinking disease. I have a thinking disease, which is what I have.
It's very interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And so go to Al-Anon. This guy starts speaking, telling a story of his childhood. It's like he's telling my life story. I just burst open, spend the next hour crying. Walked into that room totally cloaked in shame and guilt and horror, and walked out of there like the sun had come through the clouds and I could breathe.
The burden was lifted off, yeah.
For the first time ever. So Al-Anon was really the breaking of the ice.
Okay.
Like, okay, the new ebb, this little baby ebb is just getting his first taste of fresh air.
Okay.
Then Al-Anon led me back to therapy. Therapist led me to meditation. Somewhere in there, I'm putting the pieces back together. I get led back to yoga, which was a big through line for me in my childhood. My mom was taking my brother and I to yoga from the time I was like 10 years old.
I remember you sharing
old.
That because I was going to ask. I knew there was some part of the story that your mom had the yogi influence.
Yeah. So,
that's cool.
And mom is a master somatic healer, body worker, yogini. So there was always this in the background, you know. So I came back to yoga and just met some really important people, some really important men who were mentors for me, and just pointing me back to myself, you know, giving me some tools, some life tools, starting to really learn some life tools, like how to navigate this thing, and reconciling all the shit inside of myself, you
know.
That's
a big part.
The wounded boy, the wounded little boy. All the damage that I caused from being that wounded little boy in my relationships, and just starting to put the pieces back together, finding forgiveness for myself, making amends where I needed to, finding forgiveness for others, just like a really profound experience of reconciliation. You know, getting to the point where going from I couldn't stand the guy I saw in the mirror to really being proud of the guy I was looking at in the mirror. And that was a one step at a time, stumbling, picking myself back up again, dusting myself off, taking another step, remembering to breathe, one day at a time process, you know? And, you know, there's plant medicine and ayahuasca and LSD and psilocybin and a whole bunch of plant medicine that really just helped progress the journey. And then, you know, whole bunch of life happens.
Yeah.
Somehow I end up here. I'm teaching yoga. I'm doing events, breath work. I've been doing my podcast or podcasting for the last, since 2015.
Oh, you're like an OG guy on the podcasting scene.
Yeah, I guess so at this stage.
It was still pretty early at that, that year, I guess.
And it's had many forms. So
first
it was a podcast I was doing with another former NFL guy called the Mindful Warrior Podcast, which is talking mainly about life after football, putting the pieces back together, finding yourself after sports or after a career change. There was a lot of cannabis advocacy in there, talking about cannabis as medicine for football players dealing with brain injuries and as an alternative to pills. So going around the country, speaking at a whole bunch of
That's fascinating.
Conferences. Yeah. And that through that, I met Mike Tyson, started a podcast with him called Hot Boxing. We did about 100 episodes there. COVID hit. That was a whole other portal we stepped through.
Okay. That's a good way of putting it. That might be the best summary of COVID that I've ever heard.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. We've never been the same.
We haven't. And for me personally, that was actually the time that I had my, quit the job. I left the relationship. I canceled the wedding. I did all the things. So that just encapsulates that very well because I entered a totally different side of me that I didn't know existed in like dark ways. Sure. Very dark ways, but then also what's come out on the other side of that too. So I can very much appreciate that statement.
Yeah. It feels to me like we just stepped into a completely different reality.
World, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
for sure. Totally new reality. So bringing it back to this open focus, my journey into open focus, which I think is important. Just where I'm at now.
Yeah.
But I've been meditating since 2016.
And I would imagine it didn't start as open focus, correct?
No, it didn't. Okay. And it started with my therapist going, Eb, have you ever considered meditating?
Okay.
And I was like,
you had the reaction I didn't.
Yeah, of course. And before she mentioned it,
I would think your mom would have been all up in there about that.
Mom has always been more of get your body into order and then your mind will follow.
Okay.
So the physical yoga practice or getting a deep tissue massage was always kind of her.
The healing
like,
piece makes sense. Yeah. That's how she thinks about it.
But my brother would say to me, Eb.
Oh, okay.
Eb, you should try meditating. Up until that moment with my therapist, I'd be like, fuck that. I don't have time for that, dude. You know? But my therapist says it and I was completely surrendered.
Sure.
You know, there was nowhere for me to go at this stage in my life. So I said, okay, cool. Yeah. What do I do? Where do I start?
Okay.
She turned me onto this app. It was called Stop, Breathe, Think. Unfortunately, it stopped.
Yeah. I think you mentioned it's no longer around, right?
Yeah.
I know. And it's such a great app. Yeah. It's a bummer.
It just felt more accessible and a greater array of practices and guided meditations than like Headspace or Calm. Which I think it's great. It's great.
Of
Any
course.
Way you get
it's all
into
towards
it,
the same end.
Yeah. It's just like get it whatever way it makes sense.
Right.
So it started with Stop, Breathe, Think. And I started doing these things. I'd wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, still be dark out, get the dogs on a leash, go for a long walk. I'd put on these guided meditations and I just started feeling this immense peace, you know? I would be dropped into the center of myself and experience everything I've been looking for my entire life.
Okay, wow.
This peace, this quiet, this stillness.
Do you think that was accessible for you at that point because you were in such a state of total surrender, maybe even like desperation?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, up until that moment, it was give me the dopamine hit.
Sure.
You know, give me something quick.
Totally. I get that.
Give me the quick hit.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. So just bring me into this place that I felt I'd been looking for my entire life. And I started craving it. Just started wanting to do it more.
Sure.
And this has always been really interesting to me. Esoteric knowledge, ancient wisdom, spirituality, yoga, all of this stuff is really like what I live for, just as far as what lights me up.
Okay.
And gets me
like
excited.
If you went back to college, you think you like missed your major of what you could have focused on or no?
I think my major was, I would still enjoy my major. I majored in creative writing with a minor in philosophy.
I was a journalism major.
Oh,
I like
that's
to
cool.
Hear that.
Where'd you go?
I went to a very small school in Virginia. It's called Washington and Lee University.
Okay.
It's one of the only liberal arts schools that actually has a journalism school.
Sweet.
So instead of doing more of like the path that you took, I wanted to go to a liberal arts school, but I would have looked at like majoring in English or something like that. And eventually I landed on this school because I thought I was going to be a TV news broadcaster. And fast forward to 7 years later, this is the TV news broadcasting in action. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Thank you.
I like that a lot. Yeah. That's awesome. So I think that still fits, although I definitely would have made my schedule more heavy with, you know,
philosophy type.
But I did take a lot of that stuff. Like I took Buddhism. I took all kinds of cool classes, metaphysical philosophy and all kinds of cool stuff.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, which was fun. So I'm craving the meditation. I'm loving it. And so I'm looking for any book I can find to build my knowledge base.
Yeah.
So it's like Ram Dass, Be Here Now, and Bhagavan Das, It's Here Now Are You, and David Hawkins books, and books about consciousness and spirituality and meditation and mindfulness, Thich Nhat Hanh, and all these things, anything I could get my hands
on. You were reading.
Right? Yeah. So, and I'm just experimenting.
Okay.
I'm doing these guided meditations. I'm watching documentaries. I'm putting into practice things that I'm hearing and learning and just doing it every day.
Okay. And trying to figure out like what resonated the most with you or?
Just like experimenting for fun.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, this is something I love.
You want to be super
well-versed in this. I want to be a fucking yogi floating off the
like,
floor.
What's
you know what I mean?
The same way I got to the peak of athletics, arguably, with being in the NFL.
Exactly.
What's the peak of this?
Exactly. Yeah, how far can I take this thing? If I do this every day, apply myself, do it to the best of my ability, how far can we take this thing? So it evolved from these guided meditations to just a super basic following the breath practice, going in the nose and out the nose, in the nose, down into the belly, out of the belly, through the lungs, out the nose. You know, so doing that a lot. Dabbled a little bit with mantra.
Okay.
And then a couple years ago, I met this guy. He came into the office where I was working with Mike Tyson doing this podcast, and he was a hypnotist hypnotherapist.
I don't think I knew this part of the story. Okay.
His name's Dr. Richard Grenier. He's totally mystical dude. I highly recommend checking
him out. I'm
going
to go look him up. I had a boss in my pre-podcasting nutrition life. I worked in finance, and I had a boss, and he was the only boss I ever had who told me I would never work for anyone else. He was like adamant about that. And he was actually certified in hypnotherapy.
Oh, interesting.
And he offered to do it for me one time and I just wasn't in his face to receive it. But like he didn't seem like the type of guy. So when he told me that he had this like other aspect of his life that he was super passionate about, I was like, oh, okay. So that's all, that is the extent of what I know about hypnotherapy. So you can school me now and tell me about your experience.
Thing. It's a fascinating concept, actually. There's a great book called Journey of Souls by a guy, Dr. Michael Newton.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
It's all these case studies. He puts people into hypnosis and he regresses them back and forward through their soul's journey.
Wow.
Through many lifetimes into the source realm and all kinds of cool stuff.
All right, that's going on my list. Thank you.
It's a profound book.
Yeah, so you meet this guy.
So I meet Dr. Richard, and he's got this way of looking at me, and I've had this a handful of times with some of my mentors and people who have pointed me in the direction that maybe I wasn't quite looking in yet.
Okay.
Looks at me, he's like, Evan, you're so pure. You're so solid. You're going to do amazing things in your life. And can I work with you? Can I do something with you really quick? I was like, sure, man. Yeah, whatever you want to do. So he sat me down in a chair. He put my hand into a mudra. My right hand like this. Simple mudra, just like that.
Yep.
Left hand was down. Closed my eyes. He did some magical thing and he said, okay. Snapped his fingers and he said, the moment you close your eyes and you put your hands in this position, you'll go into a deep state of meditation.
And did it happen right away?
It happened right away. That's and then so it crazy. Happened for 2 months after that.
Every time you hit
every time I would go into my meditation, I just do this mudra and I drop right into the center.
That is so cool.
So I go, okay, this guy knows something.
Yeah, something's here. You know?
And
he's on to something.
So then I'd crossed paths with him a couple more times. And a couple years ago, I crossed paths with him. I actually go to his office. He had an office here in Santa Monica. It was epic. Like, all these incredible biohacking modalities. And it's, he doesn't even need any of that. It's really him. He's tapped into something.
Yeah, his intuition. There's something there.
Yeah. He's got all these incredible machines, and we start talking, and he says to me, somehow we were started talking about meditation, and I was telling him sort of my basic practice, and he said, you know, the way you're meditating, if we're looking at practices in accordance with elements, the way you're meditating is very fire-oriented. So when we're doing stuff, we're creating, we're in a fire.
Sure.
It's a fire-oriented activity, right? Makes sense. There's a lot of doing. You're
producing something, yeah.
So a meditation practice where you're following your breath, or even you're doing a mantra, there's an element of doing. You're really trying to do the meditation, right? Which, when you really get into your meditation practice, that becomes, there becomes a ceiling with that type of practice.
Totally, I get that, yeah.
So he said, when you move into doing a water meditation, which is, water is the element for the emotional plane. So there's four planes of experience or existence, and four planes, four elements. Each one correlates to the plane. So fire is the spiritual. Water is the emotional, air is the mental, earth is the physical.
Okay.
If you're looking at these different planes of reality that we can, that we exist through and in. So he said, if you focus more on doing a water-oriented meditation practice, you'll go a lot deeper and you'll go a lot farther. And when he said that, I had just started practicing this listening meditation.
Okay. So you were just kind of dabbling in it.
Because I had read about it in books, and I had read how listening was, in yogic philosophy, listening is the quintessential, it's the top of the pyramid in a meditation practice. Because essentially what you're doing is you're sitting and you're just allowing yourself to be. You're bringing your attention to the environment, the like atmosphere right of sound that you're in. It brings you right into the moment. And so I had been practicing this, and when he said that, it really clicked. And so I just kept doing it, and I kept working it and kept practicing this listening meditation. So my meditation is pretty much what we did now. But it's kind of expanded even more with some of these other open focus practices. And the more I did it, I was having these profound revelations in conversation with people, where I'd be in a conversation with someone and all of a sudden it would dawn on me how I had never really listened to anyone before while we were in conversation. Because the mind, when you're talking to somebody, your mind is
thinking about the next thing.
Steps ahead, organizing what they're saying, trying to predict what the next word's going to be. And that had all been quieted.
Yeah.
And I was just there with this person and this mind-blowing recognition that I have no idea what the next word is that they're going to say. And they're a totally organic, alive being sitting in front of me. And that's a fucking incredible thing that we just take for granted.
We do. And I'm laughing that I had said to you earlier at the beginning when we were discussing being in the podcast space for a few years and like what you learn through the process. And I half kidding said, it's more about learning how to listen.
Totally.
So it's like very ironic that you brought this back up, and it's so tough. And this was something else that kind of perked my ears up when you came to speak to us, because it is really, really hard to intentionally listen to somebody and then bring our phones into the mix and the distractions. For me, and I'd love your take on this as a bit of an aside, right? But having podcasted for 3 years, you having podcasted for twice that, how crazy is it, the quality of the conversation that you have when you're podcasting? Because our phones are in Do Not Disturb. We're only concentrating on this, mm-hmm. but you're taking it to another level mm. with what you're describing mm. because it's like the discipline, I think, because I love to interrupt to clarify that I understand what you're saying. That's mm. more of like my communication style.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a couple who does like kind of like marriage counseling. It's like relationship coaching,
uh-huh.
but they came on my podcast and I made them dissect my communication. And this was like really early into podcasting. I want to say it was like episode 9, mm-hmm. where now I'm in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would cringe if I listened to it today
because
I've learned so much. Right. And I've practiced,
of course.
Obviously, but you're, like I said, you're really taking this to this next level. So bring us further into that point of you have this realization that people are in front of you and they're just beings. Like, what did you start thinking about next?
Mm. Well, I started realizing how this practice was allowing me this opportunity to empty myself of all that mind noise.
Wow.
Like you said earlier, we come into, or we meet teachers, or we hear things about meditation. It's like, quiet the mind. And you're like, the fuck does that mean?
Exactly. Like,
my mind
I'm
never
like, how
stops
is that possible?
Going. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah.
It doesn't
Even
stop
when you're
going.
Sleeping, it doesn't stop.
And this is, you know, that's what the mind does. The mind is constantly scouring, thinking, remembering, reflecting, analyzing. It's just nonstop. This is what it's built to do, mm-hmm. you know? And it can be an incredible tool if it's not totally overwhelming us.
Yeah.
The trick is, how do we use it? How do we harness the power of the mind? And it's really through these ancient exercises that boil down to emptying yourself of the mind so that you can be totally present in the moment. And when you said that about the listening, I wanted to go, yeah, that's it. But I didn't want to stop,
right.
you know, I
yeah.
didn't want to stop
no,
right
this
there.
Is good. Yeah.
But that's totally, and that's a really profound thing about podcasting. It's been a really incredible exercise
sure.
domain in my life of
actually practicing
learning
this.
How yeah. to be a better communicator, learning mm-hmm. how to listen, learning how to, you know, articulate ideas.
Totally.
So Dr. Richard tells me about, if you do this water meditation practice, you're going to go to, it's going to take you farther and deeper. I'd started the listening, so I just kept doing it, had these profound revelations, doing it day in, day out, changing as a person. If you meditate in any shape or form, you're going to change as a person. This was taking me to places I had no clue that it was possible to get to the states of groundedness and peace that I found in myself.
Sure.
And it keeps coming, you
I'm
know?
Sure.
Like, I'm in a place in my life where there's a lot of shit going down.
Like, but you don't have, there's, like, you walking in here, I wouldn't sense that from you.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's people that you can sense that.
For sure.
Right?
Oh,
I
yeah.
did, this is very funny, and, like, I think the universe way of bringing this all home for us. I did a breathwork session this weekend at the retreat that I mentioned to you that I went to.
Love
because
that.
It was, you know, annual planning for my business. But the day before, we had a few guest speakers that talked about everything from, you know, measuring your successes. One was from the perspective of a therapist who really works on helping people find value in themselves that doesn't have anything to do with money and looking at other
Love
metrics.
That.
It was great. Her name's Topsy. She's awesome. And one of the other presentations was more about like the psychology of sales. Also very interesting, like how are we motivated extrinsically, intrinsically, all that stuff externally. And we did the breathwork session to end that day before we went into the annual planning the next day. And it was a really great way to just like set us up to be in a certain mindset. And at the end of the breathwork session, after we led through it, the woman facilitating it gave us a card. And my card speaking of like shit going on in your life, my card said detach from drama. And that is very much around like personal things that are happening with relationships that I have with other people personally and professionally. I'm like, I got the card. I'm like, that's the card I needed.
That's on cue.
Totally. But you don't have that energy. Like, to bring it back to what you're saying, is like, how do you, looking back at where you were in 2014 or even maybe 2016 when you hit that like bottom of the barrel for you, what does it feel like to be able to sit here now today and acknowledge that you have a lot of stuff going on? And also acknowledge that we always probably will, right?
Yeah.
And it's just more about how we're responding versus reacting to it. What does that feel like for you, knowing where you've been on the journey that you've been on, even since you said since you were a kid, right? Yeah. Like all of us.
Yeah. It's a miracle. It's really, it's a miracle. It's a miracle to be here, to be able to have life happening as it does, and just be right here. Right here with it all. Truly, I sleep well at night. There's no anxiousness. I'm not freaked out. And just taking it one thing at a time. And I have to equate that to the stability of my nervous system.
Sure.
Which is what I'm really, you know, want to bring this back to. And this, so this open focus practice that I've developed and continue to just practice and expand upon in my own life, you know, fight or flight, fight, flight, freeze, fix, the sympathetic nervous state, super necessary.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to survive a life and death situation is a really important thing.
And important that you emphasize that, because I think in some of the messaging around healing work and meditation and all these things, we've gotten away from the fact that, I see it in nutrition all the time, you still need cortisol.
Yeah,
and it's still important. It's not a bad bitch. Like, it's like, yes, there's a negative side to it as somebody who's experienced that for sure. But we need to understand that it's necessary for life.
Yes, exactly. It's totally necessary. If you find yourself out in the forest or being stalked by a predator in any situation, you want to be able to get yourself to safety. No question about it. The thing we don't want or need that's not helpful is when you get an email from your boss and you snap into fight or flight, you know?
Yeah.
And many of us, that's the reaction.
Totally.
Our nervous system doesn't know the difference between a grizzly bear and the email from our boss being the same life and death matter, right? So practicing this stuff, it's given me an unbelievable ground anchor in peace, clarity, responsiveness, to be able to just go, okay, what needs my attention right now? What is a slow developing process? You know, what do I need to be concerned with? Outside of that, life is pretty good. Like, everybody's healthy. I'm surrounded by loving, supportive people. And we're just going to take it one day at a time, you know? So why do we want to do this open focus thing? And where did, just to give you a little science, because I think it's always helpful. There was a time in my life where I thought I needed to know everything. I wanted to know everything and study everything and the keto and the breath work and what's going on with the chemicals and the science. And now I'm more in the mode of, does it improve my life? Does it improve my functioning, my capacity?
And by way of that, it's probably more intuitive, right? Because you're listening to what's working for you personally and specifically.
Yeah, which I think with all of this stuff, it's like, dude, listen to your body, listen to your instincts, like what works for you, do that. So Les Femi, the godfather of the open focus concept, he was a devout Buddhist.
Okay.
And in Buddhism, the ultimate goal is emptiness. It's complete being empty and nothingness, and your mind is clear and pure, and you're one with the universe. For me, that always felt kind of nihilistic, like a little bit of a bummer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm excited by love and relationships and this life experience is super rich and there's so much to be enjoyed. And yeah, it's painful and there's suffering too, but like, I want to really live. Now, getting into Les Femi's work and his work in biofeedback. So he recognized that when we surrender or when we empty ourselves, you go into these alpha brainwave state.
Okay.
So your brain starts functioning at its optimal level, which is essentially what the flow state, what's going on when you're in the flow state.
Okay, the science behind it.
You're in this open, diffused focus. So you're not narrowly focused, zoned in on one acute aspect of what's going on, but you're available to everything. You're immersed in your experience.
Is that why people report that sense of more creativity?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So open focus is essentially a way of getting yourself into the flow state. Mm-hmm. And what's going on? So when you look at what Buddhism is actually talking about, Buddhism, yoga, Zen, Hinduism, these are all scientifically oriented spiritual processes. Because we're not just talking about emptiness in Buddhism. We're talking about how do we get our brain functioning at its most optimal level.
Sure.
Literally producing alpha waves, synchronizing the two hemispheres of the brain. So it's not just locked in the left hemisphere, the analytical, logical, but you can actually have access to that creative, whimsical, artful state as well when you're in the analyzing and the logic. And if you can use those things together, what incredible possibilities there are in front of you. So the open focus exercises, not only does it get you out of the sympathetic fight or flight response, but it opens you up into the parasympathetic, rest, digest, recover, mm-hmm. detoxify, creating well-being in your body. Yeah. All the good stuff that happens there that can't happen when you're in a constant state of fight or flight. You're also producing the highest, the most optimal function brain waves that you can produce, the alpha waves. And so, like you said, you're sitting here listening to me talk and you're focusing in, you're tuning your attention to the low hum of the light, and then somehow you're totally immersed in what I'm saying. There's this really incredible magic that happens where you're going to get everything you need when your logical mind goes, how the fuck am I going to pay attention if I'm tuning into the low hum of the air conditioner in the room? Well, it's because you're actually emptying your mind of all the noise, all the stuff that's going on, and you're bringing yourself right into the moment so that you can actually receive the vibration of sound that's coming from the person you're sitting with. And you're going to get all the information that you would have otherwise missed. So anyway, I don't know where we are now.
No, that was, you just wanted to jump in with the science and that's how we got to this place. Yeah. And we are coming up on our time and I feel like I could talk to you forever. Before I transition us through the end of the episode, I like to end things on a fun note and do a little rapid fire. So we'll do that in just a minute.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you kind of a loaded question that certainly I'll preface with saying this could be its own podcast episode. And it was something that in listening to you and Chase in the episode you guys did together, I think guy to guy probably just naturally came through a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But for all my ladies out there, I know they would want this question to be asked. And I know that it's something that I think even for the own men in my life and my clients and trying to create accessibility for these things that are stereotypically too feminine. And you're the guy to ask that question to because you've had experiences in your life that I think are stereotypically extremely masculine, right? So, and again, loaded question, because I know there's probably like seven ways that you could take this, if not more. But if I'm a guy listening to hearing what you're saying, or you take yourself back to where you were 10 years ago almost, how can the men out there who may not feel as in touch with trying to be open-minded to explore some of these things, like, where can they start? And how can they tap into this? Because I hear you, I think about personal relationships that I have, friends that I have, who are going through very similar things that you experienced, especially around substance abuse, and they're so overwhelmed by the constant noise, coupled with being male and having this sense of responsibility that they have to have it figured out, and they have to keep it together for their family. And that's a huge burden. So I think that's not necessarily specific male versus female. It's just a trend that I would say that I've seen. And I think it's a societal one. So I'm curious your take. Like, how would you unpack that for somebody, just knowing where you kind of came from and maybe the things that you worked through in working through your inner child wounds and the journey that you just been on over the last several years? Told you it was a loaded question, right?
It's a difficult question to answer because part of me, this has been my experience, and it seems to be what I see with people I work with and friends, family.
Sure.
The human beings that I've come into contact with, that I've crossed paths with over the years. And until you have totally surrendered to the reality of your life.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to suggest where to start.
Sure.
So the beginning, the starting point for any of this stuff is that you find yourself in a moment where your life is unmanageable as it is right here, right now. And you're going, something has to change.
Yeah.
I can't keep doing it the way I'm doing it. If you get there, man, congratulations.
Yeah, it's like you are really lucky. Like I hear you say that and I think back to what I shared with you about that low point for me. And I wanted to like crawl out of my skin. Uh-huh. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had to get that uncomfortable to make the decisions that I did next.
So the Vedic arc of transformation, it's an ancient yogic philosophy. The Vedic arc of transformation, it goes chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom always says, if you find yourself in chaos, good for you. Congratulations.
I like that.
You're in the starting point.
That's cool.
Because here you are. That's the recognition. My life is unmanageable. Mm-hmm. I can't keep doing things the way I'm doing them.
Versus ignoring it. Yeah.
Somebody's going to get hurt. I'm going to die. This life as I know it is no longer working for me. So you're in chaos. You get into a new rhythm. So a new way, a new routine, a new habit. You find something new. You go to an Al-Anon meeting. You find a men's group. You get into community. So that's another big aspect of this. So it's chaos, new rhythm, chaos, community, new rhythm. So you're doing a new thing through relationship with other people.
Sure.
And then you come out the other side in your evolved, transformed state. So it's really like you have to realize that you're in chaos. If you find out that you're in chaos, good for you. Excellent. You made it. Now find a community of people. Step into a community of people that can support you and love you and encourage you on your way through the next, into the next phase. Get into a new rhythm. So you're some new habit, some new practice, some new way of being. If you want to change your financial world, you got to first make a budget. You got to stick to the budget. You got to live by the budget. You got to learn how to manage and steward your money.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to be a millionaire, you can't keep doing it, have money be really vague. There's not a millionaire, billionaire on the planet who has a vague relationship with money. This is something I've been learning, you know. Coming from having millions of dollars when I was a 21-year-old to having to totally start from scratch, You know, it's like, oh, I willed my way to that money, didn't have the consciousness to hold
it.
Now I had to relearn the tools of like, how do I make myself financially stable? Mm-hmm. And this we could do with anything.
Sure.
You know, you want to have great relationships. Okay. You got to start loving yourself first, because that's the first relationship. That's the primordial experience of self with self. Like, how do you treat yourself?
Right.
What's the language you use when you communicate with yourself? So it's chaos, community, new rhythm, new habit, new practice. And then you find yourself on the other side in a new way of being, a new aspect of self. Something I wanted to say about that, that forget.
It's okay.
Yeah, I forget. But
I like how you drew that out as like a very structured path, even though it can be super windy, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, in talking to people and trying to give that advice or perspective or just be the soft place for them to land to listen, I think the hardest part, especially when you yourself have gone through something so transformative, is you know that the path that that person is going to embark on won't look anything like what you did, because it can't.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to.
Yeah.
And all we can do is like speak from our own experience, because that's what we have.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, again, like why I bring this question up and like why I think about it often is I just see this disconnect for a lot of men typically versus for women. But I don't think that's entirely true, and that I probably have plenty of female clients who feel blocked by these things, because at one point I was that person. And to that same end, that's why I feel so strongly in trying to like work through it and figure it out and make the conversation more accessible.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's where I feel that the work that you're doing, and you know, you even touched on it with the community piece, and that's a big part of what I do as a nutrition coach. Yes, it's individualized. Yes, I'm meeting with clients one-on-one, building their programming, all that sort of stuff. But I actually had a client say this to me recently, and it made me really proud. One of the reasons that she chose to continue her time in our program after getting through her first, you know, contract or whatever, she said while she still has work to do from her own nutrition perspective and her physique, she was not ready to give up our community. And she said, I have so much value that I place on that financially too.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't leave this. I'm like, great. Like, it made me proud, because I realized the impact is bigger. And love they'll that. Be able to help each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably something that with the work I see you doing is important to you too. You've mentioned being a yoga instructor. You've mentioned events and different things that you put on in these workshops. And I think that is a really fantastic aspect of how the biohacking, healing, meditation, all the tools, all the things that world can evolve when people like yourself are trying to cultivate that. So I want to acknowledge you for that. And I appreciate that you are doing that kind of work, because as I said at the beginning of the episode, before we started recording, I was so not in a space to receive what you were going to do with us for the call that we had you on. But at the same time, it was exactly what I needed that day to process what was bothering me. And I just didn't know how, which is why I was in a bad mood. Like, I was just pushing it to the side.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So while I'd love to talk to you for literally forever, and I could ask you a million more questions, got to be respectful of your time. And I want to make sure we plug you in the show notes and all that stuff, which we'll get to at the very, very end here. But before you go, I mentioned a little quick lightning round, fun questions, easy things. We're past the deep stuff at this point. So you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. First one. We didn't talk a lot about your own fitness routine as it stands today. I would imagine there's a lot of yoga mixed in there, but what are you doing when you go to the gym? You still lifting? What does that look like for you?
Lately, I've been doing a hot yoga, lifting weights, and walking.
Nice. I'm so glad you said walking.
Yeah.
Most underrated tool for my audience when it comes to fat loss.
Yes.
There's a million and one benefits, but people always, they don't understand why I'm really passionate about their steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
The ultimate fat burning tool, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is. And it's easy and it's free.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I love walking. Right? I'm a huge fan.
Me too. I feel off when I don't have it like even for 15 minutes in my day.
Yeah.
Love having a dog for that exact reason.
Yeah.
Forces you to do it when you're busy. You obviously are somebody who reads a lot, takes in a lot of information. I don't know if you listen to a ton of podcasts, but you have your podcast too. What's something that you're reading, listening to right now that you would recommend to somebody listening to this episode?
Right now, I'm listening to the audiobook and reading the book of Rick Rubin's The Creative Act.
Cool. And are you listening and reading at the same time or doing them separately?
Okay, yeah, nice. Yeah. Love it. I mean, if you're an artist or anybody who's creating anything, an entrepreneur, it's a really incredible look at art as a spiritual practice.
Yeah, he's so, I can't put into words what I would take away from him, but the podcast he did with Andrew Huberman was so fascinating because it was like a clinical lens to a degree, right? Because of his background.
Yeah.
But I just didn't expect them to cover the things that they did given this like intersection of the science and the art.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. He's a super deep yogi. He took all of that and just like put it towards his art. And it's amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
Favorite food? I'm going to go with taco bowls.
Okay, nice. Very versatile.
Yeah.
You get your protein in there. Yeah. You can have a lot of flavor.
Tasty.
Yeah, I can get behind that. And then very last question. You're allowed to make this one a little longer. Somebody gets to the end of this conversation. They're wrapping it up. We talked a lot about having distractions and not being able to focus on one thing at a time and talking about this idea of trying to quiet your mind, however you choose to interpret that. If somebody could boil down everything you said to only one takeaway, what would you like to leave them with?
Breathe deep, keep it simple, take it one day at a time.
Beautiful. So well said. I love it. Last but not least, tell us where we can connect with you.
Mostly on Instagram at EDS Britain. Yes, it looks like Ed's Britain. That's Eben Daniel Smith Britain.
I was going to ask you what the DNS were for, and now I know.
I don't know how like I ended up with that. I've tried to change it to Eb Britain so many times.
Does somebody have it?
I don't know. Anyway.
If they do, you can reach out to them and ask them for it back.
I might do that at some point, but I feel like now. Yeah. So at EDS Britain on Instagram. If you're interested in coming to my events, email ebbandflowevents@gmail.com. Or you can hit up contact@ebbandbritain.com. I'm getting ready to launch a year-long group mentorship program, which I'm super stoked about.
Congrats.
That's fantastic. Called Life and Flow.
Love the name.
And I think today we're going to announce our first Heal and Flow for 2024, which will be in March in Wimberley, Texas.
Very cool.
It's outside Austin. We do yoga, breath work, ice tubs, incredible group of people, fantastic food, cool supplements. It's a blast. So
I've yet to go to Austin and I'm looking for a reason to go.
All right.
So maybe you just gave me my reason. No, that sounds like an amazing event. Well, very exciting. And I'm excited to just continue to keep an eye on and be a part of what you're doing. So like I said, I really appreciate you, your message, everything you're sharing, your perspective, and just your time to sit here and have these conversations and then hopefully impact even just one person. And you did that through me. I can tell you with a vote of confidence because like I said, ever since we had that meeting, that I don't even remember if it was like a month or two ago at this point, because so much shit is happening in life every day, but it's been a tool that I was like, I could actually do this. And it doesn't feel intimidating and it doesn't feel like another thing to check the box. And that's ultimately for everybody who has listened throughout this conversation, if I could just give them the one takeaway is like really learning how to explore what can work for you, not putting pressure on yourself if that doesn't. And that certainly applies to both your mental routine, your physical health, your spiritual health, all of it. So if you are listening out there and this impacted you in even some small way, please share the episode. There is no better way to actually help somebody and maybe even help somebody that you don't know how to have the conversation with. Let us do it for you and open up that conversation. So if it resonated with you in any way, share it with somebody, put it on your Instagram story, text it to a friend. I don't know if you ever do this for your podcast, but I did the Spotify Wrapped thing and I got the stats. And interestingly, you can break down how people share your show. Like, is it through text or like, where is it coming from? And a lot of the Fixed listeners share it through text, like through direct messages. Love so that. Keep doing it, guys.
That's how I always do it.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I think it's the best way to just like send it right to the friend that you know you want to discuss it with after the fact.
Love technology for that.
It is. It's great for that. And as we close out every episode, Eb, thank you so much for being here. And for everybody who listened today, thank you guys for choosing the Fix podcast. And from wherever you're listening from, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.